Do you feel like you've gone not from rags to riches, but from riches to rags? Or are you afraid that this is what's going to happen? Are you afraid because you don't know how you're going to survive financially? You're listening to everyone as they give this advice, and you don't know what to do. Today, we're going to talk to someone who went from riches to rags. Welcome, beloved. As I did that intro, when we finished, we were laughing because really what my friend went from was riches to rags to riches, but a different kind of riches than she had before. I want you to meet a very, very precious, precious friend. Her name is Nita Tin, and Nita is from Burma. And you've been here in the country for how many years?
39 years or 30, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere around there. You came in
1973.
Oh, in 1973. You're Burmese. I had you on the program when we did our study on Jeremiah, and we talked about idols because you were an idol worshiper.
Yes.
And your family was an idol worshiper. But you came from a very wealthy family, right? Tell me about the wealth that you lived in, because you go from wealth to real poverty. But I want to talk about the wealth first.
Well, I was brought up in a very, very, a wealthy family down through generations. My great-grandfather was the richest man in the city of Rangoon, which was the capital of Burma at that time. And through the years, I remember stories of how my grandmother and my grand aunts and all, they'd have these big, big diamonds in their ears.
Uh-huh.
And they did a lot of horse racing. And uh-huh. They would just throw down their diamonds and just bet on horses.
Oh, my
they
goodness.
They would have houses. They would have maids. They would have chauffeurs. We never did we never had to do any work because we had a butler who would come with a silver platter with our letters. And then we had a cook that gave us these cordon bleu gourmet meals. We had like a 5-course dinner, and my daddy was in the Royal Navy, so he was also a covenanted officer in the British India Steam, which is in Aldgate, London, and because of that, he was paid in pounds sterling, and so he was the highest paid salary earner. So we had, mm-hmm. We had everything we ever needed.
And this is when the British ruled Burma, just so that you know that. Because historically, I want to show you what happens to the country.
Right, uh-huh. Right. And so, everybody at our beck and call, so to speak. My husband, even, they were kind of not up there with us, but, we played tennis with the ambassador's children, and we had everything. We went to schools that were a lot of American schools. We had English schools, British schools, all that. And we had a lot of things. Whatever we needed, we had it.
Now, let me ask you a question. Was there poverty around you in Burma?
Yes.
And were you concerned about their conditions, or were you just in your own little world, your own little rich bubble?
Yes, I guess I was in my own little rich bubble because we never went anywhere without being chauffeured everywhere. We never saw the poverty. And if we did, I'm not sure that it would have touched my heart then.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're in this rich, rich condition. And then what happens?
Well, first thing was that God decided that I didn't need all of those, that all I needed was him.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, that verse that I always use, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. So he drew me away from all of this. And I got married to my husband, who was sent right into the jungle.
Now, explain what happened. We moved from British rule.
Uh-huh. To a military-powered rule. Before that, right at the time when we were growing up, we got our independence in 48.
Uh-huh.
So I was probably about 4 years old then.
Yeah, this is in Burma now.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then it slowly moved to a democratic, socialist sort of republic. But when the military took over, then it became ruled by guns.
Oh, so it was a military coup?
Yes, it was a military coup.
Uh-huh.
And they took over and they just stayed there for 35, 36, whatever years they did. And it was a very hard rule.
How did they take over the government?
Guns?
Yes, but I mean, they just went in.
Yes,
a rebel rose up.
Yes,
that had a following.
Uh-huh.
And they just went in and took over.
Yes, they took over
by threatening their lives.
Yes, in a sense, they were threatening their lives. Also, they felt like the prime minister was so religious; he wasn't concerned with the things, you know, for government. And at first, it was what they said was a good thing to come in and take over. But I think they liked the sense of power and control.
Uh-huh.
And so then they had a coup, and then they took over.
Now, what kind of a religion did the leader have?
Buddhism.
Okay, so yes. It's a Buddhist country. Need to know that. In your home, there's a mixture of Buddhism and Hinduism.
Right.
She shared on when we did Jeremiah, Nita shared that her grandmothers would go to the temple, and sometimes they would speak in male voices.
Mm-hmm.
They would drink things and dance and be in a frenzy and have all these strange voices. And what we saw was that behind an idol is nothing. And this is what Corinthians tells us. It's nothing. It's something that is conceived by man, carved by man, shaped by man, declared a god by man, and yet behind that is a demon. And it belongs to the kingdom of darkness. Okay, so it's a Buddhist country. He's too religious, and the men come in, and they take over. And then what happens to your wealth?
Well, our wealth didn't go away in a sense, because they did demonetize the money, but they had so much. They had so many homes and things. And if you lived in Burma,
yes,
they didn't touch that.
Uh-huh.
Because you were already landed gentry and you had your wealth. But what happened was through moving us, my husband and me, to this remote place with no, that's where I learned what poverty was.
Yes.
Not because of the things that we didn't have, in a sense.
Uh-huh.
But it's because, when it was a government position. So
and
I think
he was a doctor.
He was a doctor. And
did
I think
you
he
have
had
socialized medicine then?
Socialized medicine. He was the only doctor for about 50,000 population.
Oh my goodness.
And he was a general doctor. So he took care of, you know, babies. He took care of cutting off their legs if snakes bit them and just different things. And he never slept. We had no electricity. So it would be flashlight. And just, you know, it was poverty of a different sort. I began to learn, you had asked me just now, did I care? I didn't know about it, so I was in this bubble.
Did I care about the poverty of others?
And right now, God put me in that place to see that poverty, to see how I had to live.
Yes.
And my sisters, they would come over. We had no water, but when my daddy came, my husband, so sweet, used the little water that we had to spread it around daddy. It was 119 degrees. 120 degrees. We had a house that was not actually a house. It was made of bamboo matting, and we had a tin roof, and we had one bed and a big table, and that's all we had in that room. When it rained, we moved everything around. And that was, you know, we had an anniversary. My little house was the only house where I, no matter where I am, I take these pretty little chintz curtains that nobody wants, cut them up, and my little house was cute. And then when we had our anniversary, I told my husband to dress up. And then we, hand in hand, we went to this kitchen table, and
I
cooked whatever there was.
In your poverty.
In my poverty. And I learned, you know, to live in that state. And God is so sweet. You know, he just, and I guess I have a, I don't know, I have always been an obedient girl. I've always loved God. And so whatever came along, we just you know, did whatever.
Now, at this point, I want them to understand, your husband knows the Lord.
Yes, he does.
Yes. You think you know God.
Yes.
You've come out of this Buddhism, Hinduism, this this syncretism, this, as we called it, henotheism, where you keep adding gods because they're going to be a benefit to you. All right, so you've come out of that. And you think you know God.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about God at this stage?
Nothing much, except that he was my husband's God. And I didn't learn about, you know, his love, his protection, his guidance, his goodness, his everything. It was just, I'm a Christian because my husband's a Christian.
Yes, and you didn't read the Bible?
I did read the Bible because I'm a, when I was young growing up, I read every book in sight. If I had nothing to read, I had read dictionaries. So, so I, my daddy bought me all this library. But when I got there, my husband was so tired. Yes. I would read the Bible to him.
Yes. Yes.
And I would just read the Bible. And to me, it was a historical book. I started from A to go down the list, and none of, I mean, when the Holy Spirit hasn't opened up your heart.
That's right. There's a veil over the word.
Yes.
It's just a book. All right. So you're in this poverty, and then I want you to tell me, and we're going to come back, how you went really from riches to rags and back to riches again. The riches of Jesus Christ, and how you survive that poverty. And because you lived in real poverty in the United States of America.
Yes.
And what it cost you to leave Burma to come here. And the reason I want you to hear this is because in times like this, when we can hear how others survived, when we can hear, hey, they made it, and you've lost your home, or you've lost your possessions, you need to know you can make it. Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically. But I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation. It's not a luxury. It's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. Welcome back. We are talking to Nita Tin, who is a good friend of mine who lives here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Her husband is just one of the dearest men, even as she is dear, that you would ever meet, a man of compassion, of grace, a gentle man, an ophthalmologist of high esteem, and but he has been through the mill. I mean, he has gone from possessing things to possessing nothing. absolutely nothing. Nita, you were in this situation where you were gathering water. I mean, you've had servants, you've had everything you need. Now you're married to your husband. Is there a bitterness in your heart at all because of the poverty that you're in Burma under these militant rulers?
No, it's, you know, both of us, we never had any bitterness. I guess God just made us where we just accepted whatever came to us.
Uh-huh.
And when we were back there, we had floods. We learned that we could, if we stood up on the table, then the floods would go by. our kitchen drifted off. There were snakes and serpents and everything going past. And I was pregnant. I was 7 months old. I was 7 months pregnant. And then I went I couldn't have my baby there. So I, you know, went back there.
Went back to Rangoon.
By then, mm-hmm. The military takeover was so bad. I had to share, because I was a doctor's wife, I had to share a room with 8 people.
Oh,
and there was nobody to look after you. They just at the end just took me. I mean, I was almost giving birth before I got onto the table.
Oh.
And so it was those times. And then also I had shared how when I was at the university, the military had come in. They had shot the students with the machine guns, all of the student hall. There was blood all over the place. They closed down the universities. And then when we came back, there were so many missing. But they said these were the people that had been bad. Well, they were not alive to talk about it. And a friend of mine, he was over 6 feet. They had broken his foot, and they had just crude coffins. The parents couldn't, identify them. And it was in this sort of place. God brought us to that sort of place, to that sort of life, to make us want to leave Burma.
Uh-huh.
And we did. And when we did, he had to leave his government position.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we went to another little, more of a small town, my husband was just doing private practice, and they had demonetized all the money, but we had so much money coming in.
In Burma.
In Burma, we just shoved it under our bed. We were sitting on pots of money, but we couldn't put it in the bank. And so God plans for everything.
Yes.
Because when we left, they made us pay $10,000 each. So out came the money, and we gave
it
to
them.
That's
what God was doing.
Yes.
He was giving you the money so you could leave the country.
And then the rest of it went to my sister. And then no jewels, nothing. He just stripped me of everything.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't take away any jewelry, all the things that my grandmothers had given me, my beautiful rings and bracelets, all the sapphires.
I have a beautiful ring you gave me.
Burma is known for its sapphires and rubies and diamonds. And all of that I had to leave. But the freedom, it was nothing to be compared with what we had. Because the moment we were able to leave, that was 2 years.
Uh-huh.
We paid the government. We had to sign papers. We were saying we were traitors. And we were allowed to take $10 each, which was $20, nothing for the children. We had a family of 4, a child 1.5 years old and another who was 5.
Mm-hmm.
And we left. And when we got to the United States, his sister was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came there with all I had was a little, what we call longji, and what you know as sarong, but it's a Burmese longji, little cardigan. It was minus 17 degrees below in New York. And they bought us our coats, and then we stayed with them. But because we had to wait 2 years for our papers, there was no place for him to go for because he had to do his internship and 3 years of residency over again. So because had we gone to England, there would have been a reciprocity, and he wouldn't have to do that. But this is America, and so he had to do all of that. So we got here, and walked all this over the streets of New York. We have always custom-made shoes and suits and things like that. His shoes had holes in them. But my husband, his life's verse is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
We've only got just a few minutes left. So tell me what happened when you got here and how you lived.
Right. And so when we actually applied to all all over, and Chattanooga, Tennessee. Uh-huh. The Bible Belt was where God brought us. Uh-huh. Erlanger Hospital got him here. He earned $2.65 an hour as an intern.
Oh,
and
dear.
With our $10, we yeah. had no money. And when we went shopping, after we had an apartment that we paid money, and by that time we had $40 left for the whole month. We had no car. So he took two buses to the Erlanger Hospital. We couldn't buy an umbrella, so he had my rain bonnet. And we just lived.
You lived in a basement apartment.
Basement apartment.
And your furniture?
No furniture. We ate off boxes.
Yes.
And God was the neatest thing. Because, I mean, I just can't get over how God supplied. Because when we got there and we were living in such poverty, uh-huh. when I'd go to the grocery store and I'd say, well, I can't afford these two bananas. No eggs for us. It was just either rice and beans, uh-huh. and maybe I bought a little bit of ground beef to last over the whole week. But that was how we lived. And we lived like that, almost like that, for 4 years, because as a resident, he didn't earn that much. Mm-hmm. So at that time, we were just living from day to day with nothing much. Mm-hmm. We didn't go out to eat. We didn't drink Coke. We didn't do anything. But God we never told anybody. We didn't even tell our church. We didn't get onto any welfare
program. And you had become
program.
A Christian now.
Yes, I had become
yes,
a Christian.
Yes, you had become a Christian. Okay, so now you're reading the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Now the veil's off of the
right.
Bible. So what role did God play in your poverty?
Well, first of all, God did it in tangible ways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he comes home. My husband comes home from a medical meeting with a TV. Which one we gave to Boksoon?
Oh, a Korean girl,
yeah.
yes.
And, you know, just different things. We'd go out and somebody would say, we'd look and the children would want to go somewhere. They'll give us 4 tickets and say, you can have it. And we'll say, no, we don't have the money for it. No, they said, we're giving it to you. So in tangible ways, God did all of
yes.
that. But it was a time also when, because, you know, I went through some sort of depression because I was away from my parents. I mean, not only did God take away where I was from, my family was in Australia, and I had no money. But, you know, it is neat how God took away my family,
mm-hmm.
but he gave me his family.
Mm-hmm.
God took away my depression and gave me his peace.
Mm-hmm.
God took everything away that I was hanging on to. And I think of that, and I may not know all of it. One by one, he took them from me. All the things I valued most. Until every single toy was lost. And I walked earth's highways grieving in my rage and poverty. Until God said, lift your empty hands to me. Mm-hmm. And then he bought it with his transcendent riches. Mm-hmm. Because he could not pour in hands that were full. And that's what God did for me. God was my protector. God was my shield. God was my provider. And God was all we needed.
And God is all you need. Because God promised to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. And the problem, beloved, is many times we never experience that. Because we have so much. So if you're in a state of so little, it's so that God can give you a story, a testimony, a stories to pass on to your children, and they can pass on to others of how God supplied all of our needs right when we needed it and gave us a little bit of other things along the way because he wanted us to know we're so dear to him.
Thank you.
In the opening of the program, we talked about going from riches to rags. Now you can see, beloved, that we're at the point of rags, but we're headed back towards riches. You had 4 years, you said, that were very, very hard. And what has God done now, Nita? I know that you all are very, very generous, and we so appreciate your support of this ministry and that. But tell us, you know, what has God done?
Well, when I look at, you know, what God has done in our lives since then, He's been working all along. But He, as soon as my husband finished his residency, we opened up our own practice. We worked a little while with Dr. Laster, but we opened up our own practice, and with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We had to borrow $37,000 to equip Wow. one room. And I am not a person who pays interest, mm-hmm. but we had to.
Mm-hmm.
And so we borrowed this money, and we started up our practice. When we started our practice, I was the maid. I cleaned the bathrooms, and my husband mowed the lawn, and people would pass by and say, we've not not seen a doctor who mows his own lawn. And we'd wait for one patient mm. or two patients, and if the other doctors were gone or if there was snow, we were mm-hmm. there. And mm-hmm. I think what God has done, because we gave mm-hmm. It's more of a ministry.
Yes, I know.
And then, you know, our pastor had said when we had him over, he said, this is a cornerstone. And he talked about the stone and mm-hmm. that it stayed there after 25 years. We had another, devotion for just to thank the Lord and to just mm-hmm. praise Him for what He's done. And it has been a place of ministry. And I think that's why. God has just brought the people in. We don't have anybody referring to us that is mm-hmm. from other doctors. We don't advertise that much. But what we do have is people who just love coming to us because I think they feel a sense of God being in yes. our place.
Yes. And that's what happens, beloved, is you will have a greater sense of God after losing your riches and trusting in Him. You'll be rich in Christ and in the love of Christ. And you'll be so much more apt and sensitive to share with others.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.